So if you've ever been to a music event, from a concert to a festival, a promoter had something to do with it. They are the point person between venues and bands, making sure the right music ends up in the right place. Here in Atlanta, you've got the promoters who've been in the business for years, booking 1,000-seat amphitheaters. And then you have the younger folk booking house shows, smaller venues, DIY outcrops. And Ari Farizos is an up-and-coming promoter in Atlanta who works with a lot of up-and-coming bands. And a little over a year ago, she started her own company. It's called Sorry Mom Productions. And through that, Ari acts as a super promoter. She not only books shows for her clients, she also manages bands and, more often than not, provides emotional support for them. And Ari and I sat down to talk a little bit about promotions in Atlanta. And on our show, we often talk to musicians, not promoters as much. So could you talk a little bit about, you know, what is it like to be a promoter in Atlanta, and what other, what is the promotions scene like Atlanta?
Well, it's actually, I'm kind of in a weird position because I sort of straddle a few different things. Like I work for a venue, I work for the Earl in East Atlanta, and I've worked for other venues too. So I kind of have that side of it. You know, I know how to talk to agents. I know how to talk to other promoters that have been booking Atlanta for some of them like a decade or more, you know, and so kind of part of that old guard in that way that I'm in contact with these people. However, through my company, Sorry Mom, I'm working with this new crop of people that are getting into promotions and as well as those bands. So that's an interesting mix. It's different in that, you know, the old guard, it's their career, whereas the young guard sometimes is doing it out of not necessarily trying to make a living doing it, but just doing it because they feel like it's a good way for them to connect with their community and to promote things that, like, beyond just like, oh, I like this music. You know, it's the kind of stuff that makes a difference on a wider level. There are a number of people that are interested in helping out the underground. The problem with it, though, is that it's not very sustainable. So it comes in waves, you know, like there will be a patch of time where there are like actually a handful of like local up and coming show promoters that are trying to book these shows that are progressive and work with these up and coming bands. And there's not a lot of money involved. And you're working with human beings that are, most of them, like actually very young in age as well, not just like in their musical development. So they're still figuring a lot of things out.
Now it seems that it is easier for bands to get their music out there. Technically, it's easier because we have the internet, you have social media. But at the same time, that means you have this wealth of talent, this wealth of music online that's not necessarily being marketed as professionally or marketed as, you know, there's not as much dedication because you're making your music and you're marketing and branding, producing, recording everything.
Right.
Yourself. So even in terms of, you know, record labels or promoters, how do you think that role has changed? Because it does seem there's kind of a breakdown in like a structure in music.
Right, absolutely. It's definitely a double-edged sword because while it's absolutely brilliant that people can just pretty much on their own, like, get these ideas they're having recorded and ready to promote, and there's like a platform, there's several platforms through the internet they can just kind of release them on, and if anyone cares to listen they can, but that is also the problem because there's just so much there, and it's about navigating that world. Like, how can we actually get people to, like, how do you find that audience, you know? And it makes the idea of like the record label in a lot of ways irrelevant. I don't believe the record label is completely irrelevant yet. I just think it needs to be completely reworked, and a lot of people do, and that's why you see like the uprising of a lot of different kind of new innovative like management, like all-inclusive management things. And in a way, it's kind of what I do with Sorry Mom. It's like I take on these artists as well. Like, I'm doing show promotion and all that as well, but I'm taking these artists and trying to just start them off, like give them the tools they need to kind of just face the music world. I'm trying to help them find their audience. I'm trying to help them discover their brand and then link up with people that can make it stronger, and just trying to help them navigate that a little bit.
And so you do have, you know, specific bands that you do the more all-inclusive management for. So for the bands that you do have, why did you choose those in particular?
Yeah, I get that question a lot because a lot of young bands are starting to recognize how helpful it can be just to have somebody on a team, you know, because there's always that, you know, independent thing, like, we got to do this all ourselves. But then people realize they really hate the business side of it. So people ask me all the time, like, can we get on board with you? Maybe a management role, maybe a booking role, all that. But for me, like, my company is very small. Like, it's really just me, and I'm just now kind of fleshing it out and getting some more people on board. So I can only handle so much work. So for the artists I have right now, it's, I'm affiliated with Chelsea Shag right now, and she's got a whole team of people that are helping her out, but I'm handling more of the booking stuff. But I've known Chelsea for years, you know, and we've kind of run in the same circles. And from the very beginning, you know, before Sorry Mom even, I just knew there was something there. So in any way I could, I wanted to help. And then the thing about Chelsea as well is that she's one of those artists that you really don't have to worry about her just waking up one day and deciding, never mind, I think I'm going to go to school and, you know, become a teacher or something. Like, she is an artist through and through, and she is going to stick to it. I've never met anyone as just genuinely excited about, you know, working in the music industry and being in that career forever. So she's kind of like somebody that you can have a lot of faith in, and you're not going to be let down. And it's the same for everybody that I work with. It just feels right. And I know that sounds so cliche, but there's something when you know that, like, you can really see a relationship growing there, because it's a very, very personal thing when you're, you know, working as closely as I do with these artists. You have to enjoy being around them as well as, like, be completely just floored by them and have faith that they're going to stick with it and really devote a lot of time to it.
I read in Creative Loafing on the piece that they did about you, mm-hmm. that what you're doing now is something that no one ever told you you could do. And so you're very much going against the grain, I think, maybe in terms of your age, mm-hmm. your gender. So, you know, what was it, though, that motivated you to keep doing this or want to do this?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out, because the conversation I was having with Megan at Creative Loafing in regards to that statement was just the idea that growing up, I didn't know any women in music. It wasn't something I saw on TV. It wasn't something, like, anyone ever talked about. It just seemed like this foreign concept to me. So about when I was, like, 18, I started coming down to Atlanta for shows. That's when I just started getting, like so inspired by it, and I was just... It still took me a while, and I kind of started to feel like I wanted to be involved with music, and I had no idea, like, how I could fit in or what I would do. And then just, like, and I think part of that was just the fact that still in every venue I was in and every spot, like, I didn't see any women running sound. I just never saw any, like, women stage managers. It just wasn't a thing that I saw. So then finally one day I was like, do I want to work in the industry? Is that, like, what I want to do? Because before I was like, how can I somehow get involved? And, you know, I'm not a great musician. I was like, how can I do this? And then so one day I was just like, well, I want to start working with bands. So I just kind of started to find my little ways that I could involve myself. But in doing that, it was sort of empowering. And I think that was part of the excitement that has kept me on this career path is just, it just feels important in its own weird way, you know, because now, of course, I have met several more women around the country that do work with music in some capacity. And that's really, really nice. But in that, like, I still see that there's a lack in a lot of the portions of the music industry still is in a lot of ways like a man's game, you know, and it's people are still taken aback when they find out that you're a woman. Like, I have a very androgynous name. So sometimes when I'm emailing with people, they don't realize I'm a woman, and it's interesting when they finally figure it out. It's like it's always like a surprise to them, and they talk to me in a certain way when they think I'm a guy, and then they find out I'm a woman. They're like, oh, weird. But I think the idea of maybe it's a little bit more beyond me is kind of keeping me going.